Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, if someone took it out, you gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Bam!
We all love Greg DeMarco. We got him on Patrick about.
Yeah!
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there. You're welcome!
This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Bam!
What is up, everybody? It is the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco, and we welcome you in. If you're listening live here on this fine Tuesday evening, if you're not listening live, we welcome you in whenever you might be listening. By the way, if you dare, when you're listening live, and you want to call us, you can do so at 914-803-4532. We're not really a call-in show. We do have one of those now on Sunday nights, as Chair Shot Radio has moved to Sunday nights with Christopher Platt and Ray Cash, and they will take your calls at 914-803-4532. That's Chair Shot Radio Sunday nights, 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern time, actually, unless there's a pay-per-view, then it's on after the pay-per-view, 914-803-4532. But this is the Greg DeMarco Show. I am Greg DeMarco. You can follow me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg, and that is because we are part of a website that I've put together that I really do love and adore and put a lot of time and energy into. And that's why you need to go visit it.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head with attitude. Bitch.
And of course, I don't do this show alone. Oh no, I could never possibly do this show alone. It's just no fun. You wouldn't want to listen to me sit here and rant and rave about professional wrestling for 55 minutes by myself when I can do it with my very best friend in the entire world.
FABULOUS.
Find him on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. That's Wrestling Realist. It is Patrick O'Dowd. Oh, I'm sorry, I brought it back this week. He is the test to my Albert. It's the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been forgetting. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it makes sense.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, I got a confession.
What?
To make. You remember how I said last week on the show that I don't drink during the show anymore?
I drove you to it.
No, my Twitter feed today drove me to it prior to the show. Chance to win with three at the buzzer, Greg.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
In and out. In and out.
That's you. Hashtag Illini. Stop tweeting about Illinois.
Never. No.
Seriously.
Hey,
come on,
you know
man.
I was raised on the Illini. What? I don't care if they're terrible. I'll complain about them being terrible, and then they're going to drive me to get drunk on the show because they're so awful. And they do things like give up a 13 point, you know, or get themselves into a 13 point second half deficit, come all the way back to be down two and miss a three in and out. Life's hell. Agony is being an Illinois fan.
Stop. I'm muting you. You're muted now. You are muted, but for a very good reason, because returning 2 weeks in a row, that's a little scary that after last week's show, she was, you know, willing to come back, just so very happily willing to come back and join us once again. But we're so very lucky. I lost her song already. It's still too many. Damn. Oh, here we go. Oh, I labeled it wrong. Oh, I got to fix that. That's no fun. We're gonna change that one here soon. So I'll explain the labeling later. But returning, you can find her. You can't find her on the Twitter, actually. It's just she's now hashtag Miranda when we refer to her on the Twitter. That she actually was willing to come back. She is the Trish Stratus to our Testin Albert. It is the Twitterless heroine herself, Miranda Morales.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Greg Patrick. I am very excited and even humbled to be on this show again. I had a great time last week, and I'm really excited to get into this week's topics. And now I get this whole TNA reference now as well.
See,
so,
I was building this
definitely. Yeah. No, you got something there. So.
I gotta shorten your theme song though. It's too long. I gotta shorten.
Yeah, you gotta cut it. You can cut it a little bit, but that's okay. So you accidentally labeled the song something else.
I did. Yes. So the way they're labeled.
No.
No. Well, it's not as exciting as you thought it was. So everything has a Z in front of it,
but
it puts it at the end. Yes. Right. And then stop. Why are you? I should mute you again. That's what I should do.
This is my yard now.
And then it says GDMS for Greg DeMarco Show. Then it says like what it is, like bite for sound bite, bumper. Then we've got commercial for when we use commercials. Mid show for the songs that Patrick was talking about earlier, which are always extremely exciting. Then song, and their song, and it lists all the different songs. But I was changing them because they used to have something else in front of them. So I was copying and pasting song in front of it. But some of them did have songs. So some of them actually say song, song. And then it screws up the alphabetical order. And Maneater is one of these song, song, songs screwing everything up. So
it is a song. So.
It is a song.
A lot going on there.
A lot of songs.
Lots of song.
No dance. Just lots of song. We will not have a dance break. Sorry.
Boo.
I know. Oh,
boo,
shut.
Yeah. Boo this man.
Boo. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. This is just too much.
The internet deserves to see our terrible dancing.
It's a podcast. They can't see anything that we're doing.
Well, you know, they still deserve it.
Well, you know. By the way, since they can't see us.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
It's time to get off.
One this time. So now that everyone significantly has removed their pants, we can proceed because that's, you know, again, it's a podcast. They can't see anything. So as you see on your rundown, the very next thing is the song of the week, but I don't know how to explain this. So I'll just go ahead and do it. Miranda is going to share her song of the week here this week on the Greg DeMarco Show. Once I get to it, because I think that is, it might be a song. Or it might just be a song. Let's see. It's not a song. And I got to remember what your song was. Hang on. That's not it. Hang on.
No.
There it is. Found it. So, yeah. This is Miranda's song of the week. Twitterless heroine, tell us why you picked this song.
I just really like the song. I know I wanted to do something 90s related because it has become painfully obvious how now the 90s to me is old school. You said pick an old school song, and I picked this, and you mentioned I don't know if it's old enough. The song is 28 years old. I don't know what else. How old is old school? But also just like something to get us hyped for the show. It's such a silly, dumb song. But, I mean, if you darn well don't dance to it.
Dumb show. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Just if you don't get dancing to it, check your pulse, everyone.
For the lack of a dance break, we sure have had a lot of dance songs played on this show this week already. I specifically picked that portion of the song, too. So.
Yes. No, dance. Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Funny story.
I don't know.
Funny story. Well, I was like, I'll let Miranda pick the song this week. And so, you know, and then I was waiting and she never replied. And then Patrick was like, oh, I need to send you a song. And so Patrick sends me a song. And instead of saying anything, I just did what I always do, not tell anybody anything. We have another song of the week. Patrick, Why did you pick Voices Carry?
Well, I picked it for the chorus. The hush, hush, keep it down now, Voices Carry. Because Twitter is a loud vehicle.
Yes.
And when you say things
Miranda,
on the Twitter,
by the way, Twitter is a social media network where you can post things, 280 characters. It's real. It's picking up speed. It's picking up some steam.
Right. I hear it's going to be big.
Never heard of it.
Jump on. I got two extra followers since the last time we talked. So there you go.
Woo!
I know, right?
For that.
Slow down. Slow
yeah,
down, Patrick.
Don't worry, I'll lose them both tomorrow.
There's a limit.
He
probably will.
But. Yeah, I picked it based on, and we're going to talk about it, the danger of tweeting, because sometimes you shouldn't tweet because those voices carry, and this tweet that we're about to talk about today carried.
Well, and the show is, the subtitle of the show this week was, in fact, $40, and of course I titled this the $40 special. On the rundown. So as Patrick, right. As you're always so good at doing, just set the table for everyone and what we're talking about here.
So let me jump into the Wayback Machine. A couple days ago now, I think it was
yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, man. It feels like forever because like a lot happened.
It's the internet.
I'm scrolling through the Twitter, and I see a tweet by Sammy Callahan. Replying to a tweet by one Aria Blake, who's been on our show in the past.
Yes. Yes. Full disclosure. Been on the show.
Been on the show. But Sammy was replying to a tweet that Aria put out there, regarding a promoter in North Carolina who offered her boyfriend Hunter $40 to. I'm going to just read the whole tweet. Who offered Hunter $40 to drive 11-plus hours and wrestle. Hunter declines because, duh. The guy comes back and says, if I make it 45, is that okay? In what world does that cover, one, gas, or two, any medical treatment if anything bad happened? To which Sammy Callahan replied, it's called paying your dues. Maybe this new generation should learn it. Many before you have drove 12-plus hours with zero guarantees. It's called getting your name out there, same as a band trying to make it. Everyone is so entitled, ... without wanting to do the work. So I sent this to Greg, and it was like, I think we should talk about this on the show, because I find this very, very interesting. Was hoping to get more context. Greg was like, we can do it. And then right after Greg's like, we can do it, I notice another reply or two from Seth Rollins. Many of you know him as a worker at the WWE. Dave Sapolsky, well-known promoter. And then Greg started finding other people as well. And I'll let you reply as to what else you saw.
Well, it's my favorite one was from Jimmy Rave, where he said, 15 hours... from Atlanta to Philly, just to introduce myself more than once. And that one got me, because I was just like, and you know, again, full disclosure, since we're doing that, I have
right.
a soft spot for Jimmy Rave.
You
do too. And it's just something that we just...
You stinking fools! I need you to stand up on your feet! Show respect! For the crowned jewel of the embassy! Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Rave!
So over. That was his return after several years gone from Ring of Honor, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were just so many responses. Seth Rollins replying. He was actually replying to something that Merrick Brave posted. Merrick Brave, of course, runs the school with Rollins, where he
right.
said, you know, paying dues is an investment for your future. At WWE, Rollins and I would ride 6 to 8 hours just for an opportunity to set up rings for IWA Mid-South, knowing that eventually our hard work would pay off in the form of bookings. Even after getting on, we'd be lucky to make $20 a piece. And of course, Rollins just quoted it with, true story, would do it again in a heartbeat. My favorite is QT Marshall, who was replying to Sammy Callahan and said, I don't know who Hunter is, but he should have been happy it wasn't the $20 to $25 he normally gets. Can Hunter draw five people on his own? And but what really, I'm going to save the other thing that QT said for later in the discussion, but let's just start at the top and react to it. So what did you think of this, Patrick? We'll kind of let you begin. Like, what are your feelings on what Aria had to say? And not maybe the fact that she said it, but what she said. I think the fact that she said it is a whole other conversation. But what she said.
Well,
but
I think they go together because I think it directly is going to impact some future for a while here. Because as I sort of scrolled through this and the whole reason I wanted to talk about this is because of this concept of paying your dues and working for nothing and the idea that you should be like that, the culture that's been created around wrestlers and trying to make it. And this is very true in other arenas too. So I don't just want to say it here, that I'm fascinated by this culture of you have to do the thing that you want to do and say you love for absolutely nothing all the time, period, in order to eventually be paid to do the thing that you absolutely love and whatever. And I don't know that I necessarily buy that argument, but it's an argument that's been perpetuated and allows, you know, somebody to not get offered enough money to drive 12 hours to a location or whatever. But to put that, to air that laundry out there, and the tweet got taken down when it was too late, because it's how it always works. It is the danger of tweeting. If you tweet something dumb, screenshots live forever, like, period. Somebody is going to screenshot that and keep it, and it will never go away. So even though it now says this tweet is unavailable, it's available.
Oh, it's available.
By airing that laundry that way, you're hurting yourself, and in this case, you're hurting your partner. You're hurting Hunter too, because you know that guy didn't have anything to do with this at all. Like, and she's even said, like, he didn't have anything to do with this. I was just making a comment. But you put it out there. You put the word. You put the promoter. You put the word promoter in quotation marks.
Right.
So clearly, you have thoughts about what you should have been offered, or what your boyfriend should have been offered for his services. Putting it out on social media to your thousands of followers, because she does have thousands of followers.
She's a female, and on Twitter.
Yeah.
In wrestling.
And in a community, and she does calendar shoots and stuff. In a community that is this tiny, like, you think it's big, the internet wrestling community Twitterverse is quite small. So everybody's going to see this, and to get recognized and get replied to immediately by a wrestler that is on national television, say what you will about Impact, it is a nationally televised program with more eyeballs on that person than on you,
true,
who has more followers than you, that's going to then generate what it did, and it's going to blow up. So that's step one. Dumb move to put the tweet out there in the first list. I question why it's okay for a promoter to want to book somebody from far away and not be able to pay them in a reasonable way to get them to the venue, at least get them to the venue and still have something for the work that they've done. And Greg, and I know you're going to speak to this too, because you've run shows in Arizona and pulled people from Texas, and from further away than that, I'm sure, to come to a show. And so I'm sure you have a philosophy and a thought about it. But to me, I'm not saying that you need to pay this guy the world and pay him as much as your headliner or your main eventer, or that you need to pay a talent, whatever. But to me, like, a 12-hour drive to North Carolina for $45, and you know what? You could say I don't love the business as much as somebody else, or that I couldn't do it. You're probably right, because I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Because the gain for potential exposure at an indie in North Carolina you know, is that exposure really paying off? And you know,
right.
How many people really make it to national television?
Very few, very few. Yeah. So Miranda, you and I shared this with you and you know, cause you don't have the Twitter. What did you think?
Well, I guess from Aria's perspective, I think she was probably just trying to defend her boyfriend and kind of support him in a way that probably wasn't the best way of doing that, or just the context, again, with having a limited amount of characters, doesn't allow you to add that much context to the situation. So there was probably some holes in that story that maybe we still don't know. But in all honesty, you know, I think, and even just from seeing the response online, that a lot of wrestlers, you know, for the most part, do what they can to get onto shows just to have the prospect. I've seen people who have traveled to different states not expecting or not knowing if they would be booked, but just going there for the opportunity. So I think that it's also showing a rift between the times, kind of the traditional, even more historical sense of wrestling, where people traveled for nothing, but just to have the experience to be there. Now you're in a more modern culture where people have more responsibilities. People don't have the luxury of affording things that they used to. And, you know, having families and having people that they're responsible for and taking care of, that they have to balance out the effort of going to a show and performing with the money. Wrestling in itself is not a great return on investment. Physically, you are putting your body through torture. And most wrestlers aren't getting that back in money for the amount of torture and work you put on yourself physically. Not a lot of people are getting that investment back in money. But wrestling, in all honesty, wasn't built on that. It's more modern wrestling. The WWE has made it where now people want more lucrative deals, want more opportunities for money because they see how much a wrestler can make. So I think it's kind of showing two different sides of history and kind of, you know, where we're at now. You know, is there room for the traditional route of wrestling where people will just make a small amount of money and travel hours on end, sleep in cars, do all-nighters? Or, you know, where do we fall now in paying people fairly for travel and even additional compensation for, you know, in case of an emergency or case of a health issue? You know, what do promoters do about that? I'm sure you'll talk more about that, but we're really at an intersection, is what I see online. And I searched Twitter. I even went into the search,
wow,
you know, machine. Actually, interestingly enough, the key words that I used to look for this in particular, see the comments, was pay your dues. Because in seeing the clips that you had shown me, a lot of people said that's just about paying your dues. And there was a lot of interesting responses about people just, for one side, saying it's just part of life, you pay your dues, kind of just like other opportunities, you intern, you volunteer, you kind of like this, you go to these shows, you hone your craft, you develop, you just appreciate the opportunity. But for others, and this is even unrelated to this conversation, it's just a particular comment I found back from last month in October, someone just tweeted, companies love to use pay your dues as an excuse to overwork and underpay entry-level employees. So there is this notion of paying your dues, even in kind of, I'll call the civilian world, about paying your dues is a way to exploit people. And I think that's now where there's more of that feeling or kind of awareness in wrestling is, where does that line come in? What's the difference between paying your dues and possibly exploiting someone for work?
That's a great point. And they're all great points. And there's so much here. And I do want to talk about a few different things because there really is so much. So for starters, you know, one of the things that and I don't have it up in front of me, but I don't, it was either Danny Duggan, who's also been on the show, who was a wrestler and a promoter in Canada, or it was Bob Evans, Brutal Bob, who is, you know, widely known for trying to help out young talent. He's very big on serving. You serve somebody, you know, you can develop more in the future. And one of them said this, and the other one basically echoed it, but they basically said 99% of this would be solved if the person just ran one show. If they ever ran one show, they would understand. Wrestling is a losing proposition from a promoter perspective. It is very hard because if you book a venue and you're putting on a concert, the band might make $500 and bring in enough people to cover the $500. Well, if you're putting on a wrestling show, you're probably going to have anywhere from 12 to 20 talents plus an announcer plus some staff. I mean, it's just a different level of production. But you're bringing in the same number of people, if not less. Like, it is not easy to make money. I'm lucky in the fact that the two shows that I put on didn't lose money. And in the second one, which didn't draw as well as the first, there's a couple cancellations that really made that happen. And so I you know, took that and took full advantage of it because that allowed both those shows to be profitable. You know, and it was health that caused us to stop, which, you know, we've talked about on this show before. But that's, you know, if I never do it again, the two shows I put on made money, and I'll always have that. But there's a few things that stood out to me. And the very first thing, and I posted this on one of the Facebook groups in response to this, because this was all over the Facebook groups. The key that I don't know, and I haven't asked anyone to find out, it matters who approached who. If Hunter or Aria or somebody reached out to the promotion, then it's all on the promotion can offer whatever the hell they want. And the promotion can say, I'll give you $40. Would that work? Because they're basically trying to get booked. They're reaching out, and you should do that. Like, you know, again, going back to Brutal Bob, he basically put, I'll let you quit if you do all these things. And one of them is message 10 promoters a day for a month trying to get booked. So typically it's talent reaching out to promotions. And so if you do, you have zero leverage because you're asking to get booked. And the funniest thing for me, even when I was booking for Sonoran Championship Wrestling, is people would reach out and they'd be like, yo, can I work on the show this Friday? And I'm like, it's Wednesday. I really hope we have the show booked by now. It's in 2 days. And you're trying to get on a show that's been booked for months. And someone even put out there, I can't remember who it was. This is back right around the same time. Someone put out on Facebook, they were like, if a promoter tells you they don't have a spot for you, you should be happy. That's a good promotion. They shouldn't have a spot for you if they know what they're doing. And that's why people go out there. Now, if the promoter reached out to Hunter, now Hunter does have the negotiation. Hunter has a leverage because he's the one being sought after. So who's being sought after matters. Now, if they reached out to the promoter and the promoter said $45 and they went back and complained, well, to me, that's just a bad look. Patrick talked about bringing the people from Texas like I did. I went to them. One of them I already had a friendship with, and so that was easy. But, you know, case in point, Ricky Starks, main event of my first show. No one in Arizona knew who the heck he was. I talked to him. I was like, can you, you know, come to Arizona? We're talking a 15-hour drive. That was the furthest that anyone came. We got four people in a car, so it was, you know, going to help with some of that. And I did flat rates. I didn't say, you know, with who I was working with, I wasn't going to be like, give me receipts, give me my – no, it was a flat rate. You're coming for this. And we came to an agreement pretty quickly on what that was. It's kind of funny that this $40 number gets thrown out there because the lowest I ever had anyone make on a PHX wrestling show was $3. And, that's, you know, I'll just say it. When I was running the Sonoran Championship Wrestling shows for them, when I was booking them, that was the highest anyone local got paid, and even some out-of-towners. So it's just a weird thing, and that was just my deal. Like, I felt if you paid a little bit more, you get better results out of talent, and people would want to work for you, and word would get around, and it did. So that's, you know, it brings a lot. Miranda, you brought up the whole health thing, and that's a very important point that is often overlooked, because when you put on a show, you need to have insurance. If you're putting on a show without insurance, that's irresponsible. There's a few things that, to me and me only, are non-negotiables. One is insurance. Two is having the money to pay everyone if no one buys a ticket to your show. If you don't have those two things, don't run a show. And that's been a deal breaker for me in the past in promotions that I've worked with and helped out for free. But if they can't do those things, then I don't want to be a part of it. And I've left for that reason recently. And so if you can't do those things, then that's that. But outside of insurance, which is usually more for the building liability, there is nothing to cover the wrestlers. They're usually assuming their own liability when they come to a show. And they tend to be doing it for $40 or less. And when you put it down, I mean, you guys tell me, doesn't that sound crazy to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it does. And I wanted to ask what you guys thought about, and I mentioned this to you, Greg, in our conversation earlier, just the whole spectrum. I mean, this goes larger than independent wrestling. I think a lot of this tone has been set by the WWE and their history of contracting with wrestlers as independent contractors. And not a lot of people realizing that even now, a lot of the wrestlers working in WWE still have to pay for their accommodations, and that's why they travel together. That's why they room together, is to save money. And with being an independent contractor, meaning you have to find your own means for the most part, not that I can attest to maybe some of the larger stars or some people who are more established, your own health insurance, which when you're physically in such a physically demanding role all the time, that's such an important element to have. But kind of backtracking a little bit, they've kind of set that tone in a more professional spectrum. And so it kind of then feels like it trickles down to even the local level. And in some ways it's great because it allows people flexibility to go where they want to go and work where they want to work and have more control over their schedule. But at the same time, many attempts were made in the, I believe, even the 70s or 80s to create a union for these types of cases. And without it, there really isn't much of a group, a support group to say, you know, what wrestlers, what performers deserve and what they should have. Do you really think having a lack of that now in cases like this impacts the ability for wrestlers to ask for more, to feel more secure when they are, you know, going to these events and in these promotions to ask for more money or feel like they're getting what they're worth?
Yeah, it definitely. It does. The lack of a union hurts. It hurts UFC fighters. That's been talked about a lot. It hurts professional wrestlers. It hurts a lot of that. But here's the thing about that. Unless everyone unionizes, no one benefits, because the ones that aren't part of the union just are the ones that are going to get used more. Like, unless, you know, 'cause if you all unionize, then yes. But if not, if half of them unionize, half of them are going to get to work a whole heck of a lot less, because the non-union ones are the ones that are going to get used. So that's part of the reason why I don't think that'll happen. Plus, the WWE has been able to fight it for so long. Now, if you get hurt in a WWE ring, they're going to cover you, and they're going to take care of that. Same with if you get hurt fighting in the UFC, they take care of that too. Now, the problem is, unless you're watching 205 Live, no one you're seeing on WWE television is making less than six figures. Like, they're all making – now, they're paying those expenses that you talked about. Every single one of those, by the way, is a tax write-off. And if you know what you're doing and you can do your taxes properly, you're going to get a portion of that back in the end. But independent contractor, that's musicians, that's Vegas performers, that's so many different people who take on that role and know what they're getting into. But yeah, it's very different wrestling for WWE and having a six-figure downside guarantee before you do anything versus getting offered $40 to drive 12 hours to a wrestling show. I'll tell you this. No one who drove 15 hours from Austin, Texas to Phoenix, Arizona, for me, made $40. That's just insane. The amounts of money in that car were 100, 100, 80, and 60. and the 60 was kind of a tag along that was, I think it was 40 to begin with, that was added to kind of help with the car. Like, I was like, okay, I'll use that person. So they asked me, and so that's where the lower rate came into play. They also got a hotel and a rental car, and you don't always see that. Now, in WWE TV and pay-per-view, the hotel is provided. There's a TV hotel, a pay-per-view hotel, whatever. But on the road, it's not, and that's where talent can truly save money and all of that. I don't know about the agents or the other staff. I've never asked to find – I've always wanted to ask, Patrick, and you know who I wanted to ask, but I've never asked, like, how that works on the road for them.
Yes.
Just because I don't like to push those limits.
I'd be interested to see how their corporate model works in general, because it's fascinating to me, you know, and you all are talking about being unionized. It's fascinating to me that you can be an employee and under contract with the WWE and yet be called an independent contractor when you're really not that independent, because you can't work other shows. You can't go anywhere else. You're committed to this company. Like, you, if you sign with NXT, you might get to book around it for a little while or whatever. But, I mean, you just saw it today. Somebody got signed today or yesterday. Like, somebody signed a deal with NXT, is ending all their independent bookings and moving on, you know, going to move to Florida and do their thing. And so when I read that, to me that reads like you're not an independent contractor. That reads like you're an employee of the World Wrestling Entertainment Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and a lot of those sorts of things, union or not, benefits exist. And yet we don't have that because the independent contractor argument has been worked. And so there's a lot of things that I think are really interesting that get perpetuated that I think dates far beyond the WWE. I mean, it dates to the territory days, because this is what you did in the territory days. You moved from territory to make a name for yourself, and you tried to get booked with whoever. And these old school guys, like, when you look at this, you know, even Seth Rollins, or, you know, you talked about Bob Evans or
right.
these folks.
Who's in his,
like,
Seth
guys
Rollins, who's yeah. in his early 30s.
Yes. But when you look at, like, you look at the tree and you look at the wrestling branches and stuff like that, it's like, who's my favorite guy to talk about in terms of training for the business, Greg?
Christopher Daniels.
No. Trainer. Tweets all
oh,
the time.
Oh, trainer?
Yes.
Rip Rogers.
I guarantee you, if you were to ask Rip to comment on this, he would be right up there with everybody else about this. This is about paying your dues and, you know, getting yourself out there and getting respect. My question is that, you know, when we look at pro wrestling and you talk about whether or not it's a living versus a hobby, like, is it a living or a hobby? Because if you're trying to make a living, then I get the $40 argument too. If this is just a hobby, something you do on the weekend, it's a different sort of perspective. It's a different sort of thing.
Yeah, it's true. It's really, yeah. And I think a lot of it is the way it's always been. And we got
and
into
it's
an,
a
I get
terrible
into an
argument.
Argument.
It is. A terrible argument.
I got into an argument yesterday with good old Andrew Belaz about, and I brought it, and literally it was, they were just like, can you guys argue about something else? And so I brought it up just because I knew Andrew would want to fight on it, because he always does. And that's my argument about New Japan and how they won't book women's wrestling, and how everyone's up in arms because the first show in Saudi Arabia, not the second after the murder, but the first show in Saudi Arabia, women couldn't work and everybody went nuts. And I'm like, why are you giving New Japan a pass? And they're like, it's always been that way, and they have the Joshi promotions, and how dare you? And I was just like, but they still don't have women wrestling in New Japan. And in America, we have Shimmer and we have Shine and we have other women's promotions. But yeah, we still had the Women's Evolution. So, well, how does it make it okay in Japan? And the only response I can get is because A, they've always done it, and B, you don't understand their culture. And I'm like, well, I don't understand the Saudi Arabian culture either, but that's terrible and Japan's isn't. So there's definitely a double standard going on.
I hate to go down this road. But women have rights in Japan. Women have rights in Japan.
But that's the thing.
That's the argument. That's the reason why people have a problem with it. Or at least why I have a problem with it.
And I don't care about the people having a problem with Saudi Arabia. What I do care about is why people don't have a problem with the fact that women can't work for New Japan unless they're eye candy. And the fact that no one feels
that. I get that argument. I just don't see the argument as the same argument. But anyway, we're talking about how – right or wrong, that $40 to $45 to drive to North Carolina.
Right. So here's my question.
Sure.
So it's quote unquote, it's always been that way. And Dom Vitale, who I'm great friends with and love dearly, has come on this show and other shows on our network and on his own and talked about how he had to beg to be trained. Like, he basically had to convince a school that he was good enough to be trained, because if a school trains you, you then go out and represent that school. Now, they'll train anyone who has $200. And I'm using that number for a reason, because locally that's all it takes here in Arizona to get trained to wrestle, which is nuts. But it's because it's become less about forwarding the business and training the future and more about how can I make money by putting up a wrestling school and training anybody who wants to come in. But that's a shift. The business has changed. But this portion, the paying your dues and driving just to say hello and introduce yourself and that sort of thing, that hasn't changed. And so I'll pose the question to Miranda, because the rest of us have been monopolizing it. Is that okay? The fact that it's always been this way, you need to pay your dues. Is that taking away where we are, what we've done, what we just as human beings, what we know and what we want to see in the world, is that mentality that seems to be prevalent an okay mentality?
Philosophically, I think there should be a shift in how much people are paid. Do I think independent wrestlers in general get paid what they're worth? Absolutely not. I think that most of them should get paid so much more, but you went into a lot of the logistics and feasibility of what that looks like. And at the current rates now, and even considering the changes from state to state, where I was from in New Mexico, they had to work with, I believe, like the state sports commission to operate shows.
Terrible.
Yeah, so that's already money out going to the state on top of all the other things that you mentioned. And does that mean that they could probably shift that over to those who are paying? Probably. But like you mentioned, it's a very niche audience, and they probably won't. It has to be convenient, not only in location and time, but also in money. And you rather get $15 from someone than nothing at all. And even pushing it to 20, you kind of, you know, hedge your bets on will this work. So I think that logistically it can be a challenge to pay more. Now, this is where, though, people get creative with sponsorships, with finding partnerships. And I think that's what will help promotions, is being more savvy with how they're able to bring money in. I don't think promotions are thinking more out of the box about that, or thinking about ways that they can engage in their local communities to find sponsorships. I know that it can be a challenge, you know, if a company or an organization has the choice of sponsoring a peewee football team and wrestling, well, they're probably going to go with peewee football, you know, little kids and these little tiny, you know, football. It's so cute. I can't stand it. I'll take my money, you know. But at the same time, when you want something that's athletic, something that's engaging, something that can actually help you push your product or push your company, wrestling is where it's at. So I think that there has to be a shift in where are you getting your money from, and less on the fans and more on finding outside sources. And it does take time and it does take energy, absolutely. But will it help in the long run with sustainability of shows, with funding, and then you're able to pay more? Absolutely. I do want to just real quick, I found a really great post from Joey Janela about this. He, you know, was tweeted at about this, and he has posted the first ever Joey Janela Pay Your Dues Challenge, where he states, the first wrestler to travel 8+ hours with proof to bring me a hot dog and give me a handshake at my doorstep will get a no expenses paid spot in this year's clusterfuck. And he adds, I'm talking a good hot dog, not some 7-Eleven bullshit. Spicy brown mustard and kraut, maybe some pepper, relish, prefer a foot long, and it must be hot. So, you know, I think it's about perspective too. I appreciate kind of people like Joey adding humor to it, because people on Twitter can get so serious and hung up about it. So I think that, you know, and I'm sure someone's going to follow through with that, and good, you know. This is kind of an opportunity for people to really show what kind of a person they are as well. But I do think fundamentally, you know, we all have to kind of evolve and change to think that we as people, you know, we deserve more. But how to get that more, that's where I think the question lies.
Yeah, because if you just think logistically, like you said, Patrick, we're talking about Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling and all those. On average, when you've gone to those shows, how many people would you say are there?
Oh, it's a small. I mean, it's a small crowd. It's a tiny indie.
Many is usually a question that wants a number as an answer.
I know. I'm trying to waste time while I think of a number, but you know, you can just be a dick while I think about it, and that's fine. You know, I would say if they broke a couple hundred people, that's impressive.
Right.
Like, you know, tiny venues, you know how it is.
Yeah.
And you're looking at, you know, their general admission seats are $10. Their front row reserve seats are $15.
Which is probably 36 of those seats at best.
Right.
You know, 42 right. or 48 maybe. So if you look at it, so say you look at those ticket prices, $10, $15, you're drawing 100. So let's just say on a good show, you're bringing in $2,000 at the door.
Right.
Now, depending on your deal, the venue might take 30% of that. So that's $400 right there.
Yep.
You got to pay for insurance. Let's just call it, you know, if you're going show to show, we call it $200. If you have a yearly policy and you get a certificate per show, it's a lot cheaper, but you still have to pay for that policy. So that's now $600. So now you're left with $1,400. You don't have a ring, so you're going to rent a ring. That's $400. So now you've got $1,000 left. And first, you had to market the show. That probably cost you at least $200 at minimum, if not more. So now you got $800. If you have 10 people wrestling on your show, what's that?
I mean, it does kind of. I think the marketing's gotten cheaper with the advent of social media, but go ahead, keep going.
Flyers ain't cheap, though. That's the thing.
No, I'm not saying flyers ain't cheap, but I'm saying that flyers aren't the only way. Like, flyers aren't the way that I learn about wrestling promotions anymore. Like, to be honest, like,
would you be surprised how many people do? Like, that's still a very big form of marketing your shows.
Outside of a venue, like, I think it's hilarious. Like, you'll go to one independent show and you'll come back to your car and there will be flyers for like three other shows.
I know. It's the best. So now you're left with $800. And if you've got 15 people on your show, that's $60 a person on average. And most of these shows aren't even pulling in that much money. So it's just and again, that's where wrestling, you know, Bruce Pritchard, we always talk about it, loves to use the phrase, you're trying to apply logic to an illogical situation. And this is kind of the same thing. Like, wrestling just isn't normal. If you tried to apply all this, you would literally cut the world of independent wrestling. You'd cut 75% of it away if you did that. And that's – think about that. Like, imagine if 75% of your indie wrestling was gone if people got paid what would be considered a fair wage by today's normal average human being standards to work, 75% of the business would be gone immediately. It'd be like Thanos snapped and more people than we thought went away. Think about that. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Even though to the comment, that would be what we should do. But it would eliminate a good portion of the business.
I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing, because there's a lot of people running promotions who shouldn't be running promotions. You know,
that's very true.
Like, you know that very, 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 very well.
Sure do.
And I will say that, you know, you can see, because we were talking, when a little indie is run well, it'll be okay. And the thing that, you know, you were talking about, we'll go back to Pioneer Valley. They operate out of the Pioneer Valley. Like, they're not, and this is the one thing that I think the promoter has done very, very well with this small indie, is that person, you know, back in the beginning when we started this whole conversation, you talked about somebody being savvy about what they were doing. The promoter from Pioneer Valley, one, clearly knows their audience, two, knows what they can afford, and books the talent that they can afford. The biggest, like people don't get brought, like Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling isn't one of those, because one of the other things that indies will do is bring in like that former WWE name that you've all heard of to come to the show to kind of be the boost or the bump or TNA or whatever. PvP doesn't do that. And one of the things that I think is a very smart model for the way that they run their business is that they don't go reaching out too far beyond their area. And it surprises me how many wrestlers they have in their area that can do it. Like the, you know, TK O'Ryan, who no longer does PvP except for like a random appearance every once in a while. Like he was nearby. Like he didn't have to go far away. He's from Massachusetts, which is where this operates. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, promoters also need to look at their business model and what they're actually doing. And, you know, maybe work towards the audience that you have and try to build that with the talent that's in the area. Like, Greg, like when I was at your show, like you didn't book anybody. Like the shows that I've seen that you booked, like you weren't booking some ridiculous name that cost an obscene amount of money. You talked about the furthest out that you had to bring anybody in was from Texas. So the travel is down. There's enough folks around to do that. And those promoters that are overextending and trying to do too much, maybe you shouldn't promote a wrestling show. Like, mm-hmm. Doing less. Like, the other thing I can tell you about PvP is they do one show a month. You know, one show a month, it's booked, it's solid, and you have a pretty good idea of who the talent is. And they're pretty solid within the region, and then those people generally move on to other places. People from PvP, like Sasha Banks, for example, worked at PvP at one point when she was getting her start.
Probably made $20.
Yeah, probably did not make a whole heck of a lot, but it also wasn't expensive to bring in, and it wasn't expensive for her to come and do the show at the time.
Right. So I want to share a couple other things too, because we could talk about this all day. One thing that's important to point out is that Aria Blake and Hunter are based out of Florida and either Orlando, Tampa, something like that.
Yep.
What well-known entity is in Orlando, Florida?
In Orlando, Florida? Are you talking in the land of wrestling or just in jail?
Yes. In the land of wrestling.
Oh, because I was like, if you're talking about Orlando, I was like, Disney?
Let's talk about the wages that Disney pays.
Not going there.
But also to show people, this is a very, very complex issue beyond the means of wrestling.
You're
I think wrestling justifies it by talking about history. But, you know, I think that going back to what you're saying, it's weird. It's weird. It doesn't always make sense. But I digress. Pop quiz.
Okay. So Patrick, you're starting to say it. What well-known entity in professional wrestling is in Orlando?
I thought you were talking about NXT or Impact. I couldn't remember because Impact used to be down there too.
Okay, I'll just tell you. The WWE Performance Center is located in Orlando, Florida.
NXT, yeah.
Yeah. Also. Well, the Performance Center is not NXT. It's the Performance Center. Different.
Yeah.
But that's where you... Right,
that's
where you're going to go for the most part. And so a ton of talent has moved themselves to Orlando, Florida in hopes of getting signed under the Performance Center. There is so much talent living in and around Orlando, Florida that they will work for free just to get work.
Right.
There's a decent well-known wrestler. He's actually engaged to a WWE performer. He moved from Orlando to Austin, Texas because he was tired of having to work for free. So he moved in with a friend of his, and I know this because I booked this person, not the guy who moved, but the guy he lives with. And I was like, well, wait, why did he leave Orlando if he's engaged and this and that? And they were like, he was like, because he couldn't make any money, like zero. He literally was losing spots to people who would work for free because that's what they had to do to get work. So that's their perspective. So they see going to North Carolina as I'm trying to make money, and they're being offered $40, and they're like, oh, this is not what we want. The other thing to keep in mind is that Hunter said no, there's probably 10 other people that would have said yes.
Yep, that's
and,
true. There's probably 20 who've already said
yeah.
yes, who are already hitting up the promoter to be like, hey, I heard about the situation with Hunter, you know,
right.
give me 30 and we're good. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
and that's the crazy
that's
thing.
That's ultimately a problem, and that's where this all comes back to this mentality, and it's and as long as this mentality exists, and it's not going to go away, that yeah, you're on the losing end if you make this decision, because it's insane to me. Like, I get it. You're willing to work for free, and promoters are allowed to exploit that. Like, you're going to work for free,
right.
so I'm going to take you up on that, as opposed to being the type of promoter who should actually just pay the talent and get the reputation of being a good promoter for paying the talent. Like, pay the talent in Orlando. Don't be a tight-fisted ass.
But here's
like,
the thing.
Just don't do it.
They don't have to. Until people
I know
stop
they don't
working
have
to, for them, they don't have to.
That's what's unfortunate.
But you're asking
that's
someone
really
to be a good
sad.
Person for no reason, and you know better.
I agree. I'm not saying I agree, Greg, that it is a laughable altruistic thing to want people to treat others with dignity. I mean, we shoot tear gas at children, for fuck's sake. But what I'm saying here is that as long as this exists, asking for money to make a reasonable decision, because like whether you think the way she did it or not, that person is now the bad guy forever.
Yes.
And that's to me, that's messed up. Because
which person?
Like, the person who's asking for the actual, like asking for the money,
right?
Like, who's actually
okay.
asking for the reasonable cost to travel. You're the bad person because you won't break your back working for free. That's fucked up. Like, that mentality
is
fucked up. And whether it's paying your dues or otherwise, that to me is fucked up.
And it's crazy because
that's
where the phrase "that's wrestling" comes from. Because whenever people are like, this is just so asinine and crazy, people say, well, that's wrestling.
But we do that.
It doesn't make it right.
I don't agree with the idea that it's that's wrestling. To go back to Miranda's point, unpaid internships are very much the same thing. Like, people who take unpaid internships in all kinds of fields all over the place to do scut work and be somebody's little bitch for free under the
yep.
guise of experience exist all over the place. Hell,
yeah.
It exists in my field. And a Kuho I internship, yep, I just called out that company. in a lot of cases can be a free internship for
uh-huh.
the university, where maybe they pay for the person to have a place to live, but maybe not much more. Like, and you can do that, and you're like, well, it's for the experience and what you're getting out of blah, blah, blah. We're going to provide this and this so that you, like, that's what you get. And so there's a lot of power exerted everywhere, but wrestling being our passion, like, it does exist. It's just this spotlight's getting shined on this because this is what we follow.
I just want to bring something up. We talked about Japan earlier, and I'm not going into that
right.
part of the conversation.
Young boys. Oh, we can talk about young boys. Oh, sorry.
Well, here's the thing, though. When you get accepted to a wrestling school in Japan, they
yep.
give you a place to live. They feed you. Now, you take care of that place. You do all that. But it's hard to get in. But when you do, you're provided for. And
mm-hmm.
and so that you can train and focus on your training and everything. And you learn to respect the business and you take care of the place and you're cleaning the bathrooms every day and you're setting up the ring and taking it down. You're doing all those things. But what you're receiving in return isn't just exposure and experience. You're receiving a place to live, a place to sleep, food to eat, a place to work out, water to drink. All that stuff is given to you for free. So the system is completely different because it's built and based on respect. And our version of built and based on respect, because where America is sacrifice and elbow grease and all that. So it's just a totally different way of thinking, and we'll never come to an agreement on whether it's right or wrong or anything else. One other thing I feel they need to say. Oh, go ahead. Go.
I was going to say, it's even going back to free enterprise, because you talked about, you know, some people shouldn't be running promotions, and then you lead into another conversation of people, you know, this is America. If they want to spend their money running a promotion, they can. And whether they have the acumen, the knowledge, the know-how, how to do it, well, you know, that's one thing. But if, you know, who am I to stop someone to run a promotion, you know. And I think that's more of an American thing as well. You know, the startup.
Right.
You know, we're gonna do something different, and that's what I mentioned to you too. Kind of this idea now of startups. Startups are everywhere, so people have this good intention of, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna be different, but they slowly realize it takes a lot to be different,
mm-hmm.
and they don't understand all the hurdles and obstacles that they face because they just like this idea of wanting to be different. So it adds a whole other complex, you know, level to it, I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure how this works in other countries, but I can certainly understand in America how this has turned out so complicated.
Yeah, and if you talked about free enterprise, too, and that's the other thing that's American in a lot of other places, economics, the market sets the rate. And in this way, wrestlers working for next to nothing is setting the rate. And why pay more? It's funny, Patrick, we talked about when I was promoting shows. You'll remember this as I talk about it, but on the show that you were here for, the second PHX show, I had somebody booked, flat rate. They were coming out with their husband and another wrestler on the show.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember.
Agreed to the flat rate. It was flat rate for both of them. There was a hotel room that all three of them were going to stay in together. That was it. Show was on a Saturday. Thursday.
Oh, no.
You get a message. Okay. Hey, Greg, it's blank. I'm not going to say the name because if – yeah, I'm just not going to say the name.
I know it is. I know it is.
I know you do. Miranda will find
all
out
fair.
Soon enough.
All fair.
All right.
I need $60. We're driving 12 hours. I need $60 more to cover this. Patrick, what was my response?
No.
Did that person work the show?
Yes.
Yes. I said, and I was like, we made this booking in the summertime. This is now October. In the summertime, show was on October 1st, 2016. I was like, we agreed to this, flat rate, hotel, that's what I'm doing. I can't. There was no response. They still came to the show. And
the best part is they tried to change your booking at the show, though, too.
They sure did. And the wrong person got pinned. They still did change the booking. The wrong person got pinned, but whatever. And what's funny is, like, you knew what match you were going to be in. Like, we talked about this. So, and did I change the booking? No, I didn't. But it's a negotiation. It's a process, and you got to hold firm because I said no, fully knowing that person could have come back and been like, well, then we're not coming. And then I would have been like, okay. And I would have moved forward without them. And that's just – and you know, and that was a day after somebody local canceled on me. And it's just part of the nature of doing it. And you've got to roll with those punches. But, yeah, I said no and happily said no and had no desire to say anything but no. And that's just the way it is. And this person is universally loved to the point where people would be shocked if they knew that 2 days before. And they would probably side with the person and be like, well, right. It is a long time and whatever. Right.
You're shocked.
I know. It's like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, it is. It is what it is. But it's the craziness of the wrestling business. And you know, it's I mean, look at college football players. Like, yeah, they're getting an education, but look how much money the school's making off of them. They should be paid. Like, there's just so many things that.
Yeah, don't get me down that road. Mario.
We could have played it lots of times. So we talked about higher education, though, and I want to go into this because, well, there's a few things, first of all, that I want to – before I do, we're going to use this to transition. I have a new thing that we're going to do on the show from now on because, you know, I like to add a new thing since we don't do Baron Corbin Sucks anymore. We need a new thing. I know. I'm sorry. That's fine. We now have – and we'll take turns picking this, too. We now have the very special – theme song of the week.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm a nice man.
The lyrics of that song are amazing.
If this show is not about dancing, then why do you pick songs that make me want to dance? That's the trick.
It is about dancing. We just don't admit it.
Shaking your ass. I don't get it. It's not about shaking your ass.
It's about picking your ass and shoving your ass and kicking. Like, just the lyrics of that thing are amazing. I absolutely love it. So.
That's a locked hit right there.
Yes. It just hit me today. I was like, I want to play this song, and so I came up with the theme song of the week. It doesn't have an intro yet, but it will. So next week, one of you will pick the theme song. So I told Patrick this.
Are you actually going to tell people who's going to pick? You know, instead of just like leaving it up for everybody.
Next week, Patrick, you can pick the theme song of the week.
I'm just saying. Like, are you sure?
I'm positive.
All right. I'll write
it
down.
With attitude, bitch.
That's right.
100% positive. That's right. That is very much, very much right.
Nice.
Since we're sitting here.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and I serve as the advocate for the reigning, defending, undisputed, universal champion,
Dean fucking Ambrose.
Now they're all so close together. I can do that. Oh, it's great.
You just made the list.
Oh, goodness.
People who don't pay wrestlers. I mean, that's
oh,
everything so ties true. In together. And he's still a business genius.
He really is.
That's one thing. It's smooth talking promotion, and he is the master of it.
He and Jeff Jarrett.
Does he still owe Chris Jericho money? I remember at
and
one
Tommy
point,
Dreamer
point,
and Rob Van Dam
he
and
still
lots of people.
He still owes lots of people he money does. To this day.
Sure does. Sure but, does. But
you
he's
know.
Still in the business. So I want to talk about something. Last week we quizzed Miranda and found out she wasn't like, you know, Patrick's soulmate and all of that. But I wanted to kind of expand on that because I told this Patrick privately, whatever. It's so weird that here we are, the three of us are on a podcast together. We're literally all from the same world. And I don't mean planet Earth. I mean the world of higher education. Like, and we're not going to sit here and like share schools and things like that. But like we all studied the same thing and we all kind of work in the same thing. And it's almost
yep,
it's
we're
mind
smart
blowing
people.
To me. And that's you bring that up, but like you know, we can't. Our slogans kind of changed. We used to be the best wrestling program on the planet. We used to be whatever best 55 minutes in wrestling, even though we never go 55 minutes. Like maybe Patrick, are we like the smartest podcast in wrestling, or the most educated podcast in wrestling?
Yeah,
we might be the most. I think we might be the most educated podcast in wrestling. I think that's legit.
Because I think we all have.
We got a couple. We got a couple of D's, a couple of degrees. You know, so not that
like,
I'm sounding
well, I
smart right
get
now.
Get a couple of D's, like if we have
get a couple of D's.
Well, she said a couple of D's, and I was like, "Well, two of us do, but one of us doesn't."
Double D's? What?
No. I was just thinking of the other D's.
Couple of D's.
You have a vagina.
Thanks, punk.
Found that one too. Yeah.
Keeping it.
Believe that.
Yeah, I think we are the most educated podcast in professional wrestling.
Hashtag it.
We are.
The flag has been planted.
Wait. Did you just try to get? You don't have Twitter. You don't get to declare hashtags. What's that all about?
Speaking of,
I'll declare what I want. I'm trying to help you gain more followers with my business acumen and genius and your Twitter machine. You know,
let's be honest. My Twitter follower count that's a lost cause. Like, I actively sabotage my Twitter my
you
followers.
Do.
So, yeah,
and I just play sound.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So I need to – we're going to skip the quick hits because look what time it is. But – And I think we needed to cover the topic that we covered. The whole hashtag that we have, Save Tag Team Wrestling, is there any way to make that shorter?
Save Tag Teams? I don't...
Because then we talked about Save the Tag Teams. Or does it just have to be Save Tag Team Wrestling? Like, here's why. Because I'm moving forward with this whole Save Tag Team Wrestling thing. It's going to become a thing.
Okay.
In terms of possibly apparel and some other things. So I need to make sure we're okay with Save Tag Team Wrestling before I move forward.
I mean, you may not need to... If you really want to shorten it, you can maybe drop wrestling and just say Save the Tag Teams or Save Tag Teams. But it really is about wrestling, so I don't know that that would achieve what you want.
But Save the Tag Teams, we have to add four letters, and you're really, really saving five letters in the end.
No, I'm saying
really.
Save Tag Teams. I'm not saying adding the...
But Save Tag Teams
wrestling.
Sounds weird.
It does. But
I think
like
it just has to be Save Tag Team Wrestling. I mean, remember, we used to have the
it.
Support indie wrestling or support independent wrestling.
Right.
That's a thing. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Miranda,
yeah.
You're a
yeah.
professional Twitter user. What do you think?
Yes.
Oh,
and my Twitter expertise and research that
nice.
I've done for 20 minutes today, I think that will be a pretty effective tag, a hashtag, as long as, catches on. It's chicken and egg. Who knows, you know?
That's true. Chicken and egg. I don't know how it's chicken and egg, but
egg the fish.
We'll find out. So, okay. So we'll try to stick with that and see what we can do with it. I just wanted to make sure because tag team wrestling is at an all-time high right now as this past week has shown us. And yeah, it's painful.
Can we just not? Can we just not?
We don't have to.
It's
it makes
Patrick.
It makes me angry to watch, like, whether it be the just the black hole of suck that is tag team wrestling. That's right, drown me out. I don't care.
I love it.
Or just the perpetual cycle of what we do. Like, we're back to the Usos, man. Like, we're back to the Usos all over again. Just, it's like a merry-go-round.
And
the
new
man.
Day.
Just up and down, and the new day. Up and down, and around. It's carousel.
And around.
It's circular.
You ain't on the list, bro.
Sorry.
I'm not sure how I feel about Lucha House Party rules. At first, I was excited because I thought it was like New Day rules, but then I saw the matches and they're just all there together, and I'm like, that's not fair. Like, I love Lucha House Party, but like, that's not fair. How are they getting away with this? So I don't
House
know
Party.
If that's
right.
helping or hurting tag team wrestling. It's technically not even tag team wrestling when you add it to the
match.
So.
Correct.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's confusing.
I mean, by all accounts, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all.
But that's wrestling,
but,
right?
Know.
Like, we just
and
make
and when something doesn't make
like,
sense.
We just blanket wrestling. Statement, but that's wrestling, and that makes
apparently,
it okay.
Yeah.
Apparently,
shut
based
up!
On the earlier segment.
I just play sound bites.
Yes, you do.
That's all I do.
If
all I do.
Sound bites could be on a shirt, you'd be a millionaire.
If people would buy those shirts, yes. If they didn't
yeah,
buy the shirts,
yes.
then I wouldn't. That's
well,
the great thing about pro wrestling
I mean,
tees, though, is that there's no cost involved. They just do it for you.
The big point, too, about just real quick, a little on my soapbox, and only because I'm 5'3 and I'm tiny, is that people want things to change. Just support your local promotions and go out there and watch them and support the people there. And even if you don't necessarily like a promotion or a fan of promotion, then support wrestlers by going, you know, buying their merchandise. You know, that's how things can change, is more people supporting wrestlers and supporting promotions too. Because that way then there's other revenue coming in, there's more people putting their eyes on products, and especially after seeing wrestling lately on the higher caliber of WWE, people are complaining and hating it. That's fine. You know, but then watch something else. You know, don't be a masochist and keep watching the same thing over again and expecting a different result. You know, support your local promotions in your home cities and your home states and be a part of that. Be part of something that you can actually get behind and support and actually have some involvement in.
You know, you bring up a great point that I want to kind of bring this whole deal full circle here. I talked about QT Marshall and his tweet, and I said I was going to wait on another tweet that he put out because it was really important to the conversation, and you really did perfectly set it up for me. The other thing that QT Marshall said about our good friend here, Hunter, was that he said, and this is a tweet, Hunter should realize being in front of a live crowd gives him enough chance to make his own money through selling gimmicks. If he is memorable, I've had multiple shows where I've made five times my pay by selling photos, all because I took a chance. Like, if you – we've already talked about, you're going to independent wrestling shows. You know a lot of these people are losing money on this deal. The best thing you can do is buy their stuff. Buy, if you like somebody, if they resonated with you, the best way you could say thank you is buying a T-shirt, buying a hat, buying a DVD, buying a sticker, buying an 8x10, which is cheaper than T-shirt, whatever. That is literally the best way that you can support somebody. So if you're out there, do that and support them in any way you can. The other thing I want to say is I've talked about this before. There's a Facebook group that I'm in that's kind of in the business sort of Facebook group. If you're not in the business, you're definitely not in this Facebook group. And even if you are, it's kind of an invite-only thing or whatever. Someone shared the original tweet by Aria Blake. And people started commenting on it, some to the good, some to the bad, you know, supportive, not supportive, whatever. And then, you know who replied to it? Hunter Law. He's in the group.
Oh, dear.
And he basically was just like, first of all, I want to point out, like, he's like, I didn't want that tweet to be sent. I didn't know that tweet was being sent. I had it taken down as soon as I found out about it. He was like, this has gotten blown way out of proportion. Like, he didn't even know that sentiment. He's like, I don't even share that sentiment. That was somebody else's sentiment. It's definitely, you know, the guy is – and people were – after he said a whole long thing, and you could say he's quote-unquote saying all the right things or whatever, but a lot of people were like – had a lot of respect for him, for what he's saying, what he's doing, all of that stuff. So, yeah, he was actually in that conversation and had a big, long reply to the whole ordeal. So – very, very interesting. Dave Lagana and I had a conversation before the turn of the year when he was doing the whole, you know, Billy Corgan was buying the NWA. And he used the phrase that he asked me some questions and it brought me to this phrase. Did a great job. The talent is the territory. And there's an article, an interview with Nick Aldis where he said if he and Cody do number three, it's going to be in a show they promote because why let anybody else make that money? Like, yeah, there's $40 paydays, this and that, but we're also in this weird time where the talent does have so much control and so much power, and they just need to leverage it and stick together. So maybe that means unionization. Who the hell knows? I don't know. But talking about indie wrestling, Miranda, it was under a quick hit, but you have something that you can plug because you're doing something this weekend.
Yes. So for those of you who may not be aware, I am a ring announcer. I've been ring announcing now for just about 2 years, and I regularly work with a promotion here in Arizona, Arizona Wrestling Federation, and we have a show coming up on Friday, this Friday, November 30th, at Sun Studios of Arizona in Tempe. I will be announcing the whole show there. We have some fantastic matches set. We have tag team wrestling, we have women's wrestling, we have a fantastic main event for the Arizona Wrestling Federation Championship. Doors open at 6:30 and bells at 7. Tickets are only $15, and you can find more information at ArizonaWrestlingFederation.com. But, you know, even if you are not able to come, and even if you're not in Arizona, I truly want the most important thing I think out of this whole conversation to me is, as a wrestling fan, you know, just check out your local promotions, support your favorite wrestlers. For those of you in Arizona, you know, check out the promotion that you like the best. We're really fortunate to have such a lively market in Arizona with lots of promotions. So, you know, even if for some odd reason you don't go to Arizona Wrestling Federation, even just to say hi to me, support, you know, the promotion that you like and the wrestlers that you like. And you know, for those of you in your own state, check that out too. But for anyone who's interested in meeting me or coming to see some great action, Friday, November 30th, the studios in Tempe.
There you go. Check that out for sure. Patrick O'Dowd. They can follow you on Twitter if they want to.
They could.
I don't know if they want to. If they're really interested in the University of Illinois, there's an Illinois University. He yelled at me last week.
Hey, on Sundays you get to hear me yell about the Bears. All right.
They're doing better this year. So
that hell yeah, they are.
Yes. W R E S T L.
At wrestling unit. Or at wrestling Uri list. Blah blah blah. Wrestling unit. You got me all flustered and angry. Or you brought up the Illini again, man. Why you gotta do that? I was drowning in misery. I was trying to figure out how I was gonna get to Arizona to see Miranda ring announce, and it's not gonna happen. Thanks, man.
W R E S T L N G R E A L I S T. Hashtag Patrick 400. I'm sticking to it. If you under 400, I'm sticking to it.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Give Patrick all the hashtags.
That's right. All right, Patrick. Say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
All right, Miranda. Okay, I shouldn't have hung up on Patrick before I brought this up. Miranda, you know this, working in the world of higher education. When I used to put stuff on or whatever, and you'd ask people to do something, and I once had somebody turn down being a speaker for the second time in a row or something because they basically said, if you do something twice, you're kind of considered doing it all the time. You just came on the show twice in a row.
I did.
Is this your future now?
The next level of commitment?
That's exactly right. This is the thing. If we go video, I'm even going to be willing to change the name of the show and use the show name you and I have come up with. And Patrick's fine. He doesn't care. But yeah, it's I'm on air giving you the opportunity to be I'm tapping out or no, I'm down. So,
let's see about my rate. We'll talk about some negotiations. I'll pull up a contract. This is, we're some smart marks here. But in all honesty, I'm nothing but excited, and I really enjoy doing this show with you and Patrick. So I would love to continue if you both are okay with that idea. I'd love to continue working with both of you.
You don't have to be quite so humble. And I know it's just
humble
your nature.
It's
that's right.
Humble brag.
We would be crazy to these past 2 weeks have been so much fun. And the show, in my opinion, is just only better with you there. Because I can do this. And it'll drive you crazy. But I've only played the one.
You just done the one today. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't, kept it. I haven't gone on a tirade. I think last week I got really power hungry. You know, I really got into the zone as like a defense attorney. Yeah. So I really was in it. Today I felt like it was definitely more of a philosophical type of discussion. So I didn't really go too deep.
What do we do here?
But yeah. So
you just
but
never
I,
know what
I could.
You're gonna get.
You're gonna get, and that's what I love about this. Like this is my favorite part of my week, honestly.
Well, that's just – I'm sad for the rest of your week. But this is – it's kind of like the wrestling box of chocolates. You really never know what you're going to get. So that's what this is. And you contribute to it. So it definitely does work. So wonderful. Here's what – because Patrick won't go back and listen to the show, so he doesn't know about this. At some point in the future – and we'll let the people kind of get on this too – we'll have to set you up on Twitter. Not yet, but later. And we'll see how fast you pass him.
I'm definitely open to it. I just need enough momentum. Twitter's scary.
Not yet.
I don't know if you've seen these kind of women like Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. Like, they're vicious on Twitter. I don't know if I am ready to get onto that level. Maybe I'll have to do some training wheels. But when the moment comes, when it's the right time, I'll know. And
when you do, then you'll need a new nickname because the Twitterless heroine is yours until then. So
until then, yeah, that's a lot to weigh on because then I lose this new moniker that I find very endearing. As much as it can be insulting, I find it endearing, and I'll lose that. beginning of Twitter. Pros and cons.
But we'll come up with other ones. Well, you could still be the person who doesn't have Twitter but be on Twitter. Like that maybe that's a thing. Like it's funny. Silas Young is a wrestler in Ring of Honor, and he for the longest time his gimmick was The Last Real Man. And part of what he did, and he even talked about on the show, was that he doesn't have social media, blah blah blah. Meanwhile, his personal account is like friends with me on Facebook, and his wife is friends with me on Facebook. Like now he's on social media and whatever, and has a Twitter. So I think they made him get one and all that. But it was just like the funniest thing ever. That's a fun interview. He started off the interview like in kayfabe, and then we asked a question to his wife, and next thing you know, they were like real people for the next 2 hours. So funny things happen. So yes, you're basically now. It's like the firm. I don't think you can get out. So it's just kind of how that works.
Yes.
So we appreciate you doing this.
Deal with I said it really is the most fun part of my week to sit down and just talk about wrestling is amazing. And I really enjoy working with you and Patrick. You guys are fun. We agree, we disagree, we have it, you know, but we're still all, as Tommy Woodreamer would say, wrestling is one big dysfunctional family.
It really is.
And so, you know, I feel like everyone I'm meeting and everyone I'm connecting with is somehow becoming, part of my crazy extended family.
It's true, and it really does. It kind of stays that way just because it's, you know, it is wrestling and it is kind of weird and all of that. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun, and I don't think it'll ever go away. That's the glory. This whole show was started because Patrick and I lived in the same state, and then I moved across the country. And we were having conversations on the phone. And one day I was just like, people do podcasts like this. Like, we should just take these conversations and do them on the air. And that's literally how the show began. So it's a thing and can definitely be done like that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. You'll and like you said, it's no, like we agree, we disagree and agree sometimes. If we always agreed, this show would be boring as hell. So
boring.
Yeah. No one wants that. No one wants us to agree all the time. That's just,
gross.
Yeah, that would be terrible. So awesome. Well, we appreciate you doing this. It'll be a lot more fun in the future.
Yes. Well, you know how to get a hold of me on Facebook. Yeah.
Not on Twitter.
Because
right.
I'm all old. Right. I'm short and I'm old, and I got to figure out the rest of that rap, but it'll come along.
All right. Well, have fun this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, we appreciate you listening. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Got some new designs up there, some more in the works, as I just alluded to. So we really would appreciate you doing that. In fact, you know what? Let me let Christopher Platt tell you all about it.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I am Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the MVP, Mr. Christopher Platt, reminding you all to make sure you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, chair shot t-shirt. We've got them all. We've got all colors. We've got all shapes and sizes. We got them all for the men, the women, and the babies, from 8 to 80, blind, crippled, and crazy. It doesn't matter. Make sure you join the movement and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Shalom. And always.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
best in all his future endeavors.